Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
Three games back. That's immensely satisfying. Is it 23? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Good times, my friend. 3 minutes, 48 seconds after the hour of 9 in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2005. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 9, 10 Talk Radio for Guys. It is a Rick Emerson Show here on the banks of the feces filled with Willamette River in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Unlike anything else you could conceivably listen to at this point. Broadcasting from behind the Electro Voice RE20, the finest communication microphone known to man.
With a built-in windscreen.
Okay, why do you always have to cause trouble not to put it back on? They're going to come look. They're going to come look, Emmett. Yeah, that's better. Broadcasting from behind the finest equipment known to man. Purveying the crisp, clear timbre of my voice as only intercom communication really can. Well, whatever. In any event, it's 503-535-9100. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. The thing about this microphone is I don't wish for there to be any ongoing unpleasantness. I'm simply observing that this windscreen, which has been placed on this microphone by forces other than myself, I would say is a good 3 or 4 feet thick. And by the end of the show, is decidedly and demonstrably squishy because of the fact that people, and I'm not just saying my show, I'm saying any program. I guarantee you, you come in here on a Monday morning, it's going to be little liquid leftover bits of Clyde in this microphone. Not like I'm any better. I'm just saying, it's like a pair of socks worn outside on a damp winter day. You know what I mean? Takes days and days to completely dry out. Well, whatever. It's 503-535-9100 inside the great city of Portland, Oregon. If you are somewhere else in Vancouver, first of all, you should move. Secondly, this is your number. It's 1-877-535-9100. 1-877-535-9100. If you are in Salem, if you are in Vancouver, just finish up whatever Applebee's meal you are undoubtedly consuming at this moment. And get a U-Haul, won't you please? You can email today. You can communicate electronically if you'd like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. About what things would you communicate? Let me tell you, my friends. Coming up today, first of all, violence is imminent in Florida. It's fantastic. You can feel the entire country beginning to tip off its axis.
And every politician is backing away knowing they made a terrible mistake.
You have chosen poorly.
It wasn't I who was involved. No, not I.
It wasn't me that started babbling about Jesus. Bunch of right-wing pinhead Christian supremacists. You know, it's fantastic because you know what's great? What's great is not only to see them being slapped down by the Supreme Court, but to see it simultaneously happening in high definition, depending on where you're watching this, on about 50 channels all at once. Does a body good. So we'll talk about that as undoubtedly a bunch of numbskulls begin chaining themselves to things and chanting things and carrying ill-made, misspelled, homemade signs. We got that. What else? Jen Lane will be here from Barfly Magazine later on today. We were having this whole discussion yesterday about the Space Room, which is this place on Hawthorne by Mount Tabor, by Spallas Mount Tabor. This is a great place. It's got kind of this weird, it's kind of a my father's place thing, but we were saying it's got this kind of interstellar, this sort of outer space vibe. So Jen Lane will be here later today. We're going to talk about the strongest drinks in Portland and where they can be had by you. Not that you should abuse your body in any way. That, of course, would be wrong. But if you've already made that decision, I mean, we're here to help. We're here to facilitate your life, my friends. the public interest, convenience, and necessity, because life is for the living. So we'll talk about strong drinks and where to get them. Matt the Law Lindland and Randy Couture are going to be here later on, third hour of the show, talking about Sport Fight Night, which is happening Saturday at the same place last night, at Mount Hood. It's going to be the big, just a huge arena of death, basically. So they'll be in the studio later on to talk about that. And Sarah Dillon has an exciting new suitor. It's all very thrilling. Someone who's clearly broken free of his restraining devices and gotten towards a telephone. And I'm unclear about whether it's the same guy who's been leaving me a series of messages. Because we've played last week and then earlier this week, we played the, that guy going with it. And so I want you to start watching Tron. See, here's the problem with this. The third problem with this windscreen is that because it's so large and spongy, it makes it difficult to cup my hands correctly and to do the zany phone voice. It doesn't really work. It just makes me sound tinny. See, because watch. See, here's the zany phone voice with the windscreen. And then here... But then
without it, I can do that. See how much better that is?
No, it doesn't matter. No one cares. I'm an artist, but just take colors off my palette. That's fine. I don't care. It's not like I'm busy creating, entertainment here. Moving on. So we have these voicemail messages from some guy who's obviously taking a strong shine to Sarah. How are you today? Other than desired by everybody who's gone off their medication inside the Portland metro area.
I don't know. That was kind of a creepy way to start the day.
It's fantastic, too. Because he's not so much.
Well, no, he got his fill of talking on the message that he left me the day before.
Oh yeah.
I played you that one. Made my skin crawl.
We can't
play that one.
We can't even play the messages. Now, were those that he left yesterday? Those ones that you played
me
on the show?
No, he left me one the day before yesterday. One the day before yesterday. Then one yesterday, and then one the day before that.
So we should, because they're all timestamped, but it becomes very difficult at a certain point just to figure out what came when, but. And just to be clear about this, there's this guy who started leaving a bunch of crazed messages for our friend Squid, who works down at 94.7 FM. And then he apparently tired of that game and moved on to me and left me, I don't know, probably 40 messages over the course of three weekends. And now there is someone, and I suspect but cannot prove yet, that it may be the same guy. We'll play the two back-to-back later on to see. There's a guy who started leaving messages for Sarah involving various portions of her anatomy, and in what state he would like to see them, and then what manner of physical contact he would like to have with said anatomical sections. And then this morning, though, but then this morning's message just took a new and altogether less subtle turn. So we'll play that message later on. In a moment, the results of that message. Tim Riley's in the Max 910 Newsroom working on the following stories.
Well, the question is, will people go crazy over the Terry Schiavo case?
Oh, crazier.
Charlie Daniels lookalikes in Jesus T-shirts and greasy baseball caps are preparing for the reckoning.
Excellent.
An important person in the Michael Jackson case arrested after allegedly robbing a jack-in-the-box. Tonight's a long-awaited premiere of the American version of The Office.
All right, we'll talk about that. And last night, I don't know if you saw it. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Best South Park ever, and we've got some sound from it. South Park last night featuring it, and I'm assuming it's people who either have satellite TV, which I used to have, or people living in different time zones, because they do things. A, because I used to do a shoddy version of this program that was heard on different time zones, and B, because you get people who move, and C, because while I can't prove this, the word is that on many of the internets, there is a streaming version of this program. I, of course, don't know anything about that. Yeah, but apparently there's people in different areas of the country and world who listen to this program. But around 6:15 last night. No, I guess it would have been 7:15. I started getting emails from people like, tonight is the best South Park ever. You have to watch it. And last night, South Park featured a special guest star by the name of... In fact, should we just segue?
You should wait.
Okay. Oops, you didn't see it. Well, we'll tell you about it after this. It is 503-535-9100, 1-877-535-9100. All that coming up, plus Jolie from Corporate Accounts Payable, and I swear in the name of Sweet Yahweh,
Today we'll get to that other top 10. The other top 10 rap one-hit wonders. So you stay there. That's coming up. Darwin Watch. Multiple Jackson watches. Your phone calls and more merriment from this, the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland, my friends. Trey Parker, Matt Stone. The Man Song on the Rick Emerson Show, Max 910. You stay there.
Hey! Makes a man, is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top so we can know your story.
Tim Riley begins everything around the corner with the 9 o'clock news. Live from Portland, my friends. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. We are back after this.
Live it! Live it!
Shamelessly pandering to our target demographic, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Why do
some wing I'd never heard last night. Last night, South Park featuring guest star Wing. And at the end, see, we're not so much on the cutting edge as we are on the bleeding edge. We are the edge. We are the curve that everyone else tries to be ahead of. We're old school Wing. Last night's South Park, you didn't see, it was fantastic. Because Token, who's the little black kid that they always hang out with? Apparently, he got some gig singing at like a hockey game or something, and he got like $200 for it. So Stan and Kyle and Cartman decide that they're going to form a talent agency, and so the first person that they find is Wing, who appears and who needs their help to pay off her husband's Chinese mafia debt. And they try to get her on American Idol, and of course it doesn't work out because the American Idol auditions are packed. So she's going on the Contender, being beaten savagely by a boxer. It's the best thing ever. Do we have the in today's folder? Actually, there should be two cuts from it, and then we'll go to the newsroom here. It's called SP Wing 1 and 2. So just play them in order. So this is the first. So this is when the kids are hanging out in Cartman's basement, as they always are, waiting for clients to show up for their talent agent's business. And Wing's husband appears at the top of the stairs.
You want me to call a talent agent? No, not me. My wife. Please enter. I'll call her. She just come over from China.
She over here at Eerie. The Chinese mafia helped me out.
And what does she do?
Oh, she sing. She very popular in China. Hey, you just sit and listen. You'll be very impressed. Oh, yeah. Ching on prayer. Ching on pointer. Ching on ching down.
Man, the caricature verse hilarious, too. Yeah.
So Wing.
It is completely her. And they're doing that thing they do on South Park sometimes where, you know, because there's two types of drawing where there's like little kids with just a round head, the little Charlie Brown thing. And then when they do.
We're sorry, dude, but getting her career off the ground would take too much work for us.
Ah, that's too bad. She just got accepted to be on America Idol in Los Angeles, but I can't take her because I have to mind a restaurant.
You've already done all the work?
Yeah, they said they pay $1,000.
But But they were doing that thing where it's kind of the South Parkization of the features, where it's sort of, it looks like some weird political caricature. And this is the second one. This is at the end when she's singing at the Sylvester Stallone's kids, like bat mitzvah or something.
My God, her voice is so beautiful.
Yeah, she's very delicate, ran for an hour.
So there you go. And then they put up a thing of like right at the closing credits with a big picture of the real Wing, like doing a little fan dance. It was like, to find out more about Wing and her music, visit. And then it had one of her websites. So there you go.
That was beautiful.
Setting the stage and the standard for all comedic developments. This is the Rick Emerson Show. And this is Tim Riley, my friend.
It's news that hurts. Next 9-10.
Well, I'm sorry to bring the house down, but the Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from Terry Schiavo's parents.
Oh,
they wanted the court to order the severely brain-damaged woman's speeding tube reinserted. The answer is no. No, no. 1,000 times no.
Yes.
We've all said no.
Your prayers to God have been answered.
Mm-hmm.
No, said God.
No. Not going to happen.
Okay.
And NBC is calling this story Divided Family, Divided Nation. Oh. Apparently, they have been reading the surveys on this that there's no divided nation. Most people are dead set against it.
Maybe they're referring to another nation.
Oh, that could be. Like an alien nation.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's time for people to go wacky like Randall Terry.
And he has the constitutional authority and the statutory authority to intervene. And so
talking
we are begging you, Governor Bush, don't put this off. You know, Good Friday is tomorrow. And during Christ's crucifixion, he said, I thirst. And at least the Romans offered him a drink of water.
Which they didn't, of course. Like, if I mean, I only have that...
Was he in Rome?
I only have that kooky Bible to go on. Mm. But, of course, they didn't. They offered him a sponge on the end of a stick soaked in rancid vinegar. Pinhead.
All right.
Never mind. And then they cast lots for... It's in a book. Go look it up.
What page?
Yeah. So you've lost, though, Randall Terry. And by the way, I don't know what they're identifying Randall Terry. Who are they identifying Randall Terry as being, by the way?
They ran under the name of some organization.
Was it like Liberty or Family or Justice Council or something like that?
Liberty and Justice. Okay. The Council of Liberty and Justice.
What they're not telling you is that Randall Terry is most known as the head of Operation Rescue. That's kind of where he made his name. And regardless of where one stands on any issue, we can all agree that Randall Terry is a crazed nutcase. So, who has now been made irrelevant by the Supreme Court? Ooh, bada bing. It's kind of hurt.
He's going down hard, though. Paging Jeb Bush.
Hears that the governor is canceling all appearances. So, he does not want to answer any press statements. So, we'll keep you abreast on what's going on over the next hour or two.
There's nothing more to know.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, you do that.
It's done.
You keep us abreast. You let us know how your ongoing defeat feels. Just give us little updates on how it feels to continually lose and to have nothing new to share with us.
NBC reporter Terry Sanders corrects this gentleman, saying Jeb Bush didn't have any appearances scheduled today anyway.
In fact, checking with his office, the governor had no public appearances planned today, planned to be in his office all day. And if he does surface and does have some comments, it will be because he's decided to do so, not that he is hiding in his office. His schedule indicates that he had no plans to be out publicly anyway.
Yeah,
so, as you can see, a very emotional situation here, Willow, one that the family
Willow.
Says that,
he keeps calling me Willow.
And we heard Brother Paul say they are clinging to their faith, that they believe there will be a miracle here.
Well, you have fun with that. Let me know how that works out. Meanwhile, I'll pray to a folding chair in the corner. We'll see how that works.
Maybe we should be praying for Whitney Houston, who was once again checked into rehab. her publicist she declined to provide details.
Of course. I think we can do that ourselves.
It was back in March of last year that Whitney checked herself into an undisclosed location. After years of denying drug use, the pop diva said she used cocaine, marijuana, and pills
in
an interview with Diane Sawyer on primetime. She's 41. She's working on a comeback album. Well, not today. The Grammy Award-winning singer is known for her rendition of I Will Always Love You and her role in the 1992 film The Bodyguard. She and R&B singer Bobby Brown have been married since 1992. That's when the troubles began.
you gotta give it to them, though. It's amazing that they're both still alive and married. I mean, whatever anyone thinks about Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, they lasted longer than Brad and Jen. They lasted longer, I think, than Bert and Lonnie. They lasted longer than any number of celebrity couples we could mention. I mean, I guess it helps when you're sitting around the house too swacked out to pick up the phone to call the divorce lawyer. Like, when you're so high, you're not really able to discern the numbers on the telephone to dial 1-800-DIVORCE. But, you know, whatever. I'm sure she'll have another crack at success any day now.
Meanwhile, Celine Dion is slapping her audiences. Well, at least with her words, insisting they're not real fans and they often fall asleep while she sings. The Canadian is contracted to perform 200 shows a year in Sin City's Caesar Palace for like $150 a shot.
Yeah, now, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. That place at Caesar's where she performs. Is she complaining that
they're falling asleep while she's singing?
Yeah, I wonder why that could be. Let's try to fathom the reasons why one might be nodding off during a Celine Dion performance. Especially if you're swacked out of your brain on free booze. Cry Me a River. I don't know if you've seen this. She does 200 shows a year. She basically does, I think it's like 2 shows a night, like 25 weeks a year or something like that. But you all will see this when you go to Vegas. Well, you've seen it probably, Tim. And then, Sarah, when you go to Vegas, which is what, like in a month or so, you'll see
this. I think we're all going to Vegas around the same time.
It's true. I mean, in the course of a month, all 4 of us here are going to Vegas. But you go to Caesar's Palace and they have built her. This is why I have no pity or sympathy for Celine Dion, because they have built her own stadium. I mean, it's...
She really doesn't deserve it.
It's huge. They have built her own amphitheater. And I think it's used by other people when she's not there. I think Justin Timberlake performed there a couple times. But, I mean, it's an entire stadium built for her. And it looks like a miniature version of the Coliseum. And, you know, and it was built solely and specifically for her, and she has an exclusive deal on it, and she gets paid whether anybody shows up or not. So, I mean, you know, just spare me your tears.
And people throw their money away for like $150 a ticket. At least you can sing a little bit, not like Wayne Newton, who hasn't been able to sing like 20 or 30 years.
Well, yeah, and Vegas shows, I mean, look, you just got to know this. Vegas shows, unless it's a performer whose sole subsistence is Vegas, a Vegas show is never going to be as good as seeing that same person anywhere else. In my experience, now maybe I've just had some bad experiences, but it's like, look, if you're going to see Penn and Teller, it's going to be fantastic. If you're going to go see the Blue Man Group,
Madonna concert was fine.
Yeah, I guess. Well, because she's Madonna. Yeah, what do you do? Or Danny Gans is going to be fantastic because that's like their bread and butter. I, however, saw, and he might not be the best example given recent news events, but I saw Carlin there last year, and he was good, but I mean, he had it memorized, and he was, you know, kind of phoning it in, because Vegas just, you know, again, it's like he gets paid the same way there. It's just one more stop on the tour. So if it's somebody who's not a Vegas performer, or God, like especially Wayne Newton, who's like 140 years old, it's like how,
and people are shocked that, I mean, he could. They have the orchestra cranked up so you can hear him sing, and for good reasons. He has been able to for many, many years.
How many times can you hear him try to jack up his voice and sing Donka Shane? And the creepiest part about Wayne Newton, I mean, there are many creepy things about Wayne Newton. His face, his hair, his body, his general appearance, everything about him. But when you see these women who go to the Wayne Newton, and he does that thing of, like, kissing them. He does the thing of pulling the women up and giving them, like, the kisses. And then he has that Elvis move where he'll sort of wipe himself with a... whatever, like a handkerchief or whatever, you know, and then like a scarf, and then like give it. Why would you want something soaked in the sweat of another human being, no matter who it was?
I can see that on eBay, Wayne Newton sweats.
Like, unless you actively are planning to clone someone, why would you want a piece of cloth given to you that was soaked in the stinky perspiration of another human being? It doesn't seem like a thing I could... What are you going to do with it? You just take it home and sniff it? Listen, if the smell is Wayne Newton's sweat. Is Tim Riley.
Well, it's fast and practically endless. Today is Jackson Watch.
Losing everything.
I don't know where to begin with this.
It's huge. I mean, the stories are just endless.
Let's try this. Michael Jackson's former bodyguard, expected to be a key witness in the singer's child molestation case, has been arrested in Vegas on robbery, burglary, and kidnapping charges. The smoking gun says 25-year-old Christopher Carter allegedly robbed a Jack in the Box restaurant at gunpoint February 2nd. And he made off with $239. Carter is jailed at a Clark County lockup. Clark County, which is Vegas, is scheduled for a March 20th justice court appearance on the various felony charges. It's unclear how Clark's arrest, which came on February 19th, will affect his anticipated role as a prosecution witness.
This email says, Rick, he probably saw the white clown head with a pointy, sharpened nose in the drive-thru and thought it was Michael Jackson. This is a guy who doesn't work for Jackson anymore, though, right?
No.
Former bodyguard guy?
Right. Right. Dan Abrams talks about Carter.
The reason he was important to the prosecutors is because he's a real insider. He's one of the people who was there with Michael Jackson all the time. And when you got one of Michael Jackson's own people coming in and saying, look, a lot of what that family is saying is true.
He said he saw stuff.
Yeah,
that supports their position.
That's helpful to the prosecution's case. Now the fact, if he's transferred from a jail, possibly in prison garb, maybe not, that definitely hurts his credibility.
Well, wait a minute, he is in jail. Prosecutors could still call him, will they?
I think they probably will.
And you think they will?
I think they probably
Why?
Will. Because I do think that he's an important witness. I think that they will probably create a situation where he'll be transported, he'll testify, and they'll accept the fact that maybe the jurors will say, because he's charged with those crimes, we can't accept it.
Yeah, all right.
Now, a comedian who gave $20,000 to the family of the boy now accused of the molestation testified Tuesday she received a tearful phone call from the boy's mother that led her to believe the family was being held against its will. Comedian Louise Planicker.
No, it's like a fourth tier Paula Poundstone.
She probably performs at open mic nights for free.
She's, I'm going to be at the Ha Ha Hole on Monday.
Be there at 5:30. She said she tried to get in touch with her mother after seeing the TV documentary Living with Michael Jackson, in which Jackson is accused of held hands and Jackson acknowledged letting children sleep in his bed.
Yes.
On the witness stand, Palliker said soon after she left a message with the boy's grandparents, the mother called and she sounded frightened. She was extremely agitated. She was almost whispering. This was fear-based agitation. The mother told her not to call her back at the same number, the witness said. Planicker recorded the mother as saying, don't call me back here. They're listening to everything I say. These people are evil. A fan became hysterical during Michael Jackson's child abuse trial yesterday. A woman who fainted in the courtroom started yelling, Michael, Michael, after she came around. Staff physically restrained her after she refused to calm down. She was then wheeled away on a stretcher and was on hand in case the singer... the stretcher was on hand in case the singer suffered a recurrence of the back pain. Offered a choice of going to the hospital or jail, she chose jail. One court reporter quipped, there's never a dull moment of the Jackson case. Talking about Vegas, what do Wayne Newton, Celine Dion, and Michael Jackson have in common?
I don't know, Tim Riley. What do they have in common?
Well, let me tell you. If Donald Trump and his partners have their way, they will all have a resident performing gig in Vegas on their resumes. Trump's Vegas partners have been courting Jackson to perform at the New Frontier Hotel and Casino. Owner Phil Ruffin and partner Jack Wishna have reportedly spoken to representatives of Jackson about a long-term residency.
That seems like a really bad idea.
Jackson's spokeswoman says she wasn't aware of any such discussions, but doesn't discount they may have occurred. There'll be a moral clause in the contract.
Okay. Said that you can't diddle little boys.
No. Clause. Well, all not right. At their hotel.
Okay. Not here. Go over to the Parisians and do that.
He added that Jackson would draw more than $80 million, which is what Celine Dion grossed in 2004.
That's I don't know. Money. I honestly don't know if I'd see... I mean, I don't know whether I'd pay to see Michael Jackson perform or not.
You absolutely would.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how can you not? I mean, I've never... Because none of us have ever seen Michael Jackson in concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, I can't... I mean, maybe you would. I guess it's like the Spice Girls thing. You know, you just pay to see it to say you saw it, I guess. All right. Well, let's end the Jackson Watch. Take a break. Come back. We got more on the way. Religious Nutcase Watch, Darwin Watch. Later on, Jolie will be here. We'll do the top 10. We'll talk about Sport Fight 9 happening this weekend. Jen Lane's going to talk about strong drinks. We'll play Sarah's phone stalker. It's all coming up. It's 503-535-9100, the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Back out of this. Or 1-877-533-9100. That's why you shouldn't peek ahead at the cue sheet. You start reading ahead in the run sheet, you're going to see something like that, and then you're not going to want to be here. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. That's our email address, Rick at RickEmerson.com. Later on in the second hour of the show, Jolie's going to be here with how chicks think today. I know that, and there's that Ask Max thing that runs the, go ahead, ask Max a thing. Give us a question or whatever the hell it is. So I know that she's going to bring some of that stuff in today. Some of the things from the, because there's that promo that we run about. It's kind of like a how guys think. It's one of the things that people email in and they want to know how the male brain works and whatnot. So I know that she has some of those questions that have been submitted. She's going to bring in with her today. We'll also do the top 10 other rap one-hit wonders of all time, the ones that VH1 overlooked last week. In the third hour of the show, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here. We'll talk about the strongest drinks in Portland, where to get them. And Matt Lindland and Randy Couture are going to be here from Sportfight 9, which is happening this Saturday. It's all very exciting, but not as exciting as Tim Riley, who's in the Max 910 newsroom.
Well, a woman's meal at a Wendy's brought a whole new meaning to the term finger food. A woman bit into a portion of a human finger while eating a bowl of chili at a San Jose Wendy's. The woman who asked not to be identified.
I've heard of living hand to mouth, but really. Oh!
In the Wendy's chili?
Yeah.
I love their chili. Well, my God.
Now Wendy's gave her the finger.
It is finger-licking good.
Oh, man. It's not that bad for you either, which is why I like it.
A finger?
Let's give her a hand.
Well, she immediately spit the finger out and warned other diners to stop eating.
I'm sorry, do we have sound?
I believe we do.
She's too horrified to find the button.
Sorry, I was flailing.
But you really were.
The guy asked me to go to the hospital, and he said, the guy sitting behind me said, no, there's no way you're going to have to pay for it out of your own pocket. And I don't have insurance, so I don't know what to do.
Well, the good point is, the finger had been cooked at such a high temperature that there was no reason to get any virus.
Probably sterilized. It was probably a clean finger.
Yes, it was approximately 1 3 inches, 1 3/8 inches long. And a half piece of fingernail was also found. They believe it belonged to a woman because of the long manicured nail.
Now, the best part of the story is that half a fingernail was found.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh, good times. That's what I'm talking about. Let's hope it wasn't a stink.
Well, that just... I don't...
Let's hope it wasn't a stink finger.
I don't eat any fast food. Wendy's is like my last thing that I eat.
Go big.
Fast food, the chili.
That's for the whole finger.
Yeah. Can I get a biggie finger next time?
You have to go to the drive-up for that.
Well, you do need protein. You know what they got that's good, though? They got that baked potato that's good, and I've never had a finger in it. So it's I've had good luck with their baked potato.
Well, you have to ask for it.
The finger. Yeah, it's like the Great Balls of Fire and Salvador Mullis. It's not on the menu. You have to know that they serve it. Specifically, you have to go to your way to ask for it. We don't make the news up. We just read it because that's what we do here.
We're nothing but the messengers.
It's true.
Mayor Tom Potter said the Rose City would join the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force under one condition. The feds will have to share certain information with local elders, like him and the chief of police.
We need to have access to information that our officers are working on.
The FBI's Robert Johnson really doesn't care for this idea at all.
The FBI cannot and will not support the granting of security clearances to anyone who does not have a legitimate and direct need to know our nation's most closely guarded intelligence information.
Well, okay. Don't ask again.
Just go away. Go away, please do not contact me.
Listen to this. A research librarian has been arrested on accusations he stole more than 1,000 library books, CDs, and videotapes from libraries in Clackamas and Washington counties.
Oh, like they're doing anything with the libraries in Clackamas County, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have all these kids on the Internet. 60-year-old Charles Gray then sold them on the Internet. Gray is a part-time worker at the Clackamas County Library Information Network and the Tigard Public Library. Authorities say he sold at least $10,000 worth of library materials online in the past few months.
The Tigard Public Library, how many books on Atkins can you possibly read at one time?
That's true, too. According to authorities, Gray would check out the books, then tap into the library computer system and record them as returned. He lives in Lake Oswego, and they searched his home, and they said they found 700 library books, CDs, and videotapes. Gray was desperate for work when he was featured in an Oregonian newspaper article about unemployment. Not too long.
Well, look, you should know that members of the media are the only ones allowed to do that. We're the only ones allowed to get books from the publisher and then sell them to bookstores. Yes, no one else.
This library patron tells Fox 12 she's disgusted.
I think it's terrible because our tax dollars go to support this library and keep it shelved.
This library.
Things, and I think it's terrible. And I hope, I'm glad that they got him.
Did she say library?
Wait. It's terrible.
What?
Because our tax dollars go to support this library and keep it shelved.
Yeah. Where is she from?
Maybe King City.
I'm glad that they got him.
Now, is she from Clackamas?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that explains it all right there. Okay, sounds like you're not using the library to begin with. All right? So, let's just go back on to your home and watch some more Guiding Light, all right? Sean and Tigard, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up? Sean.
Yeah.
Hi, how can I help you today?
Oh, I was just telling Sarah about that story with Wendy's. My daughter and I went to Wendy's once.
Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, get ready.
Let me ask you this before you. Is this a true story?
It's a very true story. Okay. I can verify it because I saw it with my own eyes.
Okay.
My daughter has a habit of taking her sandwiches apart, and she took her sandwich apart, and she found a half of a worm in her tomato.
Half a worm.
And it was still moving.
Oh, and the other half was moving its way through her intestines.
Well, it hadn't been eaten yet. We hadn't eaten the sandwiches yet, so she was rather happy to have found it.
Also, you know what it is? So it's sort of like that concentration card game. So the other half of the worm was somewhere else at another table in the restaurant.
Well, the early bird catches the worm.
You better believe that we checked all of our sandwiches after that.
Seriously. You know what?
The chili isn't even safe.
I just close my eyes and shove the food in. I don't even want to know. You know, it's like I just prefer not to know what my food is being spiked with. I assume it's always something foul. I just assume that I not be aware of it.
Well, that's where the big ones are biting.
It's true. That's Sean. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Good times.
It is.
Any more finger puns to get to before we move on?
I'm all out.
Have the cops fingered a suspect, that sort of a thing?
Yep, I'm done.
All right. I think I really peaked with hand to mouth.
That was a good one.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, as we know, Iraq boasts the second biggest oil reserve in the entire wide world. By the way, Iraq now has a shortage of gasoline.
Finally, the infrastructure has been under continuous attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, back when Saddam was in charge of the country, you had to get permission to get a car, so nobody had a car. Well, now there are millions of cars there, and Iraqis are taking this 5 cent a gallon gasoline, taking it across the border, and selling it for, well, a dollar a gallon.
And I like how we've invaded a country where all the oil comes from, and yet gas is like $3.11 in some parts of the country. How much is gas? I hate to turn this into a K-PAM thing, but how much is gas where you live, Tim?
Gas where I live is $2.17. How is it where you live?
I mean, it's like,
But that's a WC, Washington County.
I'm really... I know we're doing that thing now, but the last time
How much is gas where you are?
I was in Vancouver the other day. Seriously, though, I was in Vancouver, and the gas... This can't be right, though. I can't be remembering this correctly. In my memory, when I filled up in Vancouver the other day, the gas was $2.39 a gallon. Does that sound like it could be right?
Vancouver's usually cheaper because they don't have the taxes, and you get to pump your own there, so you're not paying for somebody to pump it for you.
All right,
you are here.
All right, I hate to be that guy, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. Sarah, you get gas. How much does it cost when you put? What's a gallon of gas when you fill up your car?
I don't know. Isn't it like 2-something now?
See, that's what I mean. See, I don't even really know.
$2.17.
Because it's like, you know what it is?
That's where it is where I live.
It's like the price of cigarettes. We're going to pay it regardless. We're never going to stop. We're not going to do anything about it. We'll bitch and moan and we'll continue.
I'm trying to drive less. I just usually park my car on the weekends and just ride my bike everywhere.
That is true. I mean, but it's like, how is it that we can take over the country and the price of gas goes up? It doesn't make any sense. In L.A., it is like $3.15 right now.
Yep.
It's just crazy. In Wilsonville, oh, God, George,
it's
hi.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
All right, now, is this arable, though? Is this a thing?
Yeah, it's arable, but
well,
it's wrong.
It depends on how you're feeling in your stomach.
Okay, let me just say from now on, because I can already tell that the genie is out of the bottle with these, here's something horrible I found in my food. Let's make it a rule for now that we'll just leave the name of the establishment out of these stories.
Okay, let me just say, how can I say this? I'll give you concentric rings of fast food hell. First of all, I was in Sacramento.
Okay.
Second of all, I was in a really bad part of Sacramento. Third of all, okay. I was in a place, well, it's kind of like when you skip to your room. It's kind of a fast food fish outlet that kind of, well,
okay.
It has the
all
word
right.
skip
yeah.
in it.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I was enjoying my fish and chips kind of.
Hold on, Sarah is actually plugging her ears. She's taken her headphones off. Tim is now doing the same.
If Sarah Dillon is taking off her headphones, it's time for me to remove mine as well.
I'm picking through my fries, and what do I find but a nice deep-fried daddy long legs?
Oh, that's no good.
And he said, well, do you want another one?
Another spider?
That was the entire amount of my compensation.
Would you like a larger, somewhat juicier spider? This one seems to be... This
is all tarantula?
This one's all bones. Good times. All right, thank you, George. All right, there you go. Hey, speaking of spiders, though, so you know what I used last night for the first time ever?
No.
It was my electric bug killer. It looks like a little badminton racket, but instead of netting, it's got little wires, and you press a button on the handle, and it goes... Zzz.
Oh, that sounds like something you should be playing with.
And it starts to hum, and it makes this, you know... And then the deal is, you can swat flies in the air with it, and it electrocutes them as you hit them, or, because it's like a little tennis racket, or if a spider's crawling across the counter, and I was so excited... Normally, you're terrified when you see a spider, right? He's crawling, and I'm like, oh, run! And I'm like running to the counter, or running to the closet, and I'm like looking through all my crap. I finally run back out to the kitchen, and I was so excited, I'd actually put down a water glass and sort of caught the spider in the glass, make sure he couldn't go anywhere. I run to the closet, come back with the electric bug zapper, remove the glass, spider makes a run for it, and he was like, clearly a spider that meant me harm. He was obviously a big man killer.
Yeah, I bet. And what, half a centimeter?
Spider makes a doll. Those things will crawl right into your ear and eat your brain. I saw it on Night Gallery. And he makes a run for it, and it's like you just gently put the little tennis racket thing down on top of him. You press the button. I swear to God, there's just like this little, and like a sparking. And then it's fantastic. And then you can use it just to sort of sweep him right into the trash. It's great. Don't knock it until you've tried it. I'm going to take... Next time I go out to the Joni DeRoshi's place, because she's in Vancouver where they keep all the spiders. And because it's not really her house so much as it is the fact that she kind of lives, she kind of lives in a wooded area.
Yeah, I went into her basement. There were spiders dangling from the ceiling.
Yeah, well, you've seen where she lives. She lives like in the middle of the woods.
It's a spooky place.
It really is. I mean, it's a place
if someone was looking for missing dead bodies, that would be the first place I'd look.
Not that there's anything there.
No, not that.
It's a place where you don't want to be listening to Ground Zero. That's how I put it. But if
you would be kidnapped by aliens.
I will say that if you wanted to shoot somebody, that's the place to do it because it's a closely wooded area. You're not going to hear a lot of ricocheting of the sound. And there's probably numerous places there where the body would then be disposed of by wild animals and the authorities wouldn't be able to... Anyway, but there's spiders there. And so there's big-ass spiders all over the house. And I'm going to take that thing out there and just make a whole day of it. Just bring a lunch. Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the Religious Nutcase Watch.
Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch, non-Shaibo edition for Thursday.
To double today. Some movie theaters are pulling the plug on the film about volcanoes, fearing it might offend people who don't believe in evolution. The IMAX production called Volcanoes of the Deep Sea makes a connection between microbes found in undersea volcanoes and human DNA. The distributor said the theaters that have decided not to run it are in, surprise, Texas, yeah. Georgia, and the Carolinas.
So they don't believe in volcanoes.
The director of the theater in Charleston reasons that many people here believe in creationism, not evolution. An official in the California Science Center feels the box office ban could have a chilling effect on other science predictions. He's afraid directors will drop all references to evolution.
I don't understand, though. It's about volcanoes. It's an IMAX film about where you...
Right, volcanoes and the deep sea.
I've missed something, apparently, and they're upset. I realize that trying to follow the tortured non-logic of creationists and right-wing nutcases is difficult. But it's an IMAX film, and let's you and I be clear about something. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what anybody says, IMAX films are not for education of value. It's just because you want to see stuff blow up on a huge screen. That's why. Yeah. It's like when you go to see the Titanic. You're not really going to learn anything new about the Titanic. You just want to see icebergs on a screen that's like 900 feet high. The IMAX is great. It doesn't have anything on the Omnimax, though. The Omnimax theater is where it's at, my friends. That's the bee's knees of surround screen that filmed them. But the IMAX is you just go there because you want to see stuff. You want to see big flames and fire and stuff on a big screen. And so the religious people don't want the volcano film shown because why?
All right. It makes a connection between microbes found in undersea volcanoes and human DNA.
Oh, I see. So it it posits that we might share DNA or traits with other creatures and places on Earth.
Right.
Which is, you know, just one of them crazy scientific theories.
Right.
Not so much a thing that's a fact or been proven.
Number two.
Okay.
This is not only a religious nutcase watch. It comes from Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's a rare thing. She calls it the Holy Pan. The woman who sold a grilled cheese sandwich on the internet, which she says bore the image of the Virgin Mary, now plans to sell the frying pan that made it. Diane Deisler's skillet is listed on eBay and bids of top $250. She expects the pan to go for thousands more. GoldenPalace.com bought the 10-year-old sandwich last year for $28,000.
Excellent. There's your religious nutcase watch for Thursday. Here they come. Here they come via email. Here come the horrible things I found in my food stories.
Yep.
I don't even know if I want to read this one. Rick, this email says, I was at a local fast food establishment whose name I won't mention. Anyway, only having a crisp $1 and wishing to purge my sweet tooth, I ordered a small frozen chocolate confection.
Mm-hmm.
I placed the order. I give them their money, and I take said icy sweet chocolate treat. I pull away from the window. I take the spoon and serve myself a couple of tasty samples. The top begins to melt a little bit of my ice cream, so I decide to stir. Would that I had stirred before sampling. I would have discovered
an eyeball.
Really, see, if we were the kooky morning show we always talk about being, we would make people guess what was in it.
See, I thought an ear.
No, okay, well, let's see if you can guess. We'll give you 10 questions, see if you can guess. You guys know how to play.
Do I have a ticking clock or something?
Yes, I don't have the, there's no.
Body part?
No, not a body part. Inanimate, it's an inanimate, you know, non-body part object.
An animal?
No, it's not carbon-based. It is not it's not a flesh-oriented object.
Oh, what fun is that?
Well,
some kind of wrap, like bandage.
No.
I don't know, Tim. I'm feeling highly uncreative. How about you?
Personal hygiene product?
Yes.
No, that was a wild. That was a wild guess.
Yes.
Is it something that's been spoken of recently on this program?
No.
Okay. Well,
oh, okay.
Okay. Well, that's
that was gonna be bad.
No, it is something. It is something used for personal hygiene.
A toothbrush?
No.
Blow dryer?
No, but you're getting closer.
Ooh.
Blow dryer.
A comb?
No. Closer still. Getting warm. You're burning up.
A hair curler?
Closer still.
Oh, wow.
Wow, Tim, look at you. You're on a roll.
I know. I'm going to win valuable prizes.
A barrette?
No. Still in the same ballpark. Should be obvious. Think about all the things
Headband.
You're talking about. No, but you're so close. You're on fire. You're on the sun. Think about all the things you're mentioning, and then I said it's a personal hygiene product.
Hair gel?
No.
No.
Personal hygiene.
Personal hygiene product. Very close to all the things you are naming.
Hairpin.
No.
I don't understand.
I'm apparently close, but I'm...
What is hygienic about wearing barrettes?
Well, it's not a barrette. I'm saying it's very close to the things you're mentioning, but it is a personal hygiene product.
Personal hygiene has something to do with it.
Okay, well, we'll see. Okay, you know,
shower cap?
We'll throw it to the people. We'll throw it to the people. All right, it's 503-535-9100. You'll win nothing. You'll win nothing. There are no prizes. It is only the esteem and credit. You'll win the salute and admiration of the Rick Emerson Show.
See, nobody knows. Nobody's calling.
Well, they haven't even heard it yet. We're on a 10-second delay. There you go. Look at that. There they go right there. See?
This is getting exciting.
One. There you go. Within 4 seconds, every line. All right, we'll see if we can get... Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Diana from downtown.
Of course. Do you have us on speed dial? Or are we like on your... You pick up the phone and go, Rick, and it just dials?
No, I just have flying fingers. I have absolutely no Riedel capacity on this thing.
All right, so what is the
My
product?
Best guess is a hairnet.
There you go.
Oh.
Hairnet. No, but it gets better. He said, had I stirred before sampling, I would have discovered a crumpled hairnet with...
A ribbon.
Bits of hair still dangling.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why they have hairnets.
All right. Thank you. There
Bits
you go.
Of
sorry,
hair.
Good friend, Diana. All right.
I would have never guessed hairnets.
And then he says, what little treat was in my body quickly found itself spraying on a passing semi. Good times. You're listening to KOTK, Vancouver, Portland. KSL in Salem, we are an intercom station.
Intercom.
Here's Tim Riley. Well, let's talk about the bunnies. A 13-year-old attacked an 8-year-old. Let's make that an 18-year-old, portraying the Easter Bunny in the center of a shopping mall where the costume-clad man was waiting to pose for photos with children. The man was struck with a number of punches Friday night at the Bay City Mall, leaving the bunny with a bloody nose. The attacker fled on foot, but was later identified. Authorities plan to ask prosecutors to charge the boy with assault on the Easter Bunny. No children were waiting to see the bunny at the time of the attack.
That's fantastic.
Let's talk about the television. What's on tonight? Primetime Live, a report inside a woman's prison examines the dynamics of prison life.
I am completely there. What channel is that? Is that on ABC?
That is on ABC at 10.
ABC 10, Women in Prison.
And you can watch that right after the world premiere of The Office.
All right. Now, it's a whole lot of TV viewing tonight because we got the you got The Apprentice from... What, from 8:30 to 9:30? What time is The Apprentice on?
The Apprentice is on from 8:30 to 9:30,
okay.
Immediately followed by The Office.
They're doing that thing where they jigger everything around. So, The Apprentice is on. What's on from 8 till 8:30 on NBC?
Joey?
Oh, well, okay.
Joey.
Clearly nothing I need to watch. So, 8:30 to 9:30, The Apprentice. 9:30 to 10, The Office. And then Women in Prison, immediately following that at 10 o'clock.
But if you watch
ABC.
Women in Prison, you're not going to be able to watch Hal Lindsey.
Now, I'm confused about this. Whenever they say Hal Lindsey, I always think of the guy from Barney Miller.
No, that was... he had a different last name. And he's dead.
He's not dead.
Barney Miller is dead.
He's not dead.
He is.
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
Hal Linden.
Okay, Hal Linden's not dead.
I believe he is.
He's not. Hal Lindsey is... But who's Hal Lindsey then?
I don't know, but he's not Barney Miller.
But is he dead?
Hal Lindsey is alive. He's on tonight at 10.
But I...
Is this an Albert and Costello?
It's not free, but it is complimentary. I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
I don't either.
Okay.
We just continue to speak and words fly out. We're here for several hours every day doing this. Also,
we receive paychecks for this. Wait, let's see who this is. Hi, Rick Evers at Joe. Who's this?
Here's Dave.
Hey, Dave. What's up? What's up?
You guys are on fire. Hey, Hal Linden.
That's one phrase for it. I'm sorry, what?
Hal Linden, the guy who played Barney Miller, was just in a Showtime series called Huff over the last season. So
yeah.
Cast it in the last week or two.
In your face, Tim Riley.
He might have died since then.
Maybe. If we're lucky.
Nice.
All right, okay, but who is Hal Lindsey?
Got nothing for you, brother.
See?
All right. There thank you. All right.
Well,
we
want to talk about that again, won't we?
Okay.
Also on tonight is Rocky III from 1982.
Rocky III featuring Hulk Hogan as Thunderlips and Mr. T as the guy.
When the cradle falls, police investigate a couple with a missing baby kidnapped by an illegal adoption service.
Over on the Sarah Channel. Oh, Mr. T is Clubber Lang. I'm sorry, what is on the Sarah Channel?
Thunderlips?
Thunderlips.
When the cradle falls.
The cradle. Anything involving cradle, deception, lie, truth, vengeance... Something fatal. Those are all things over
immediately
on the
followed
channel.
By Mom at 16.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I've seen. Never mind.
That's what? You've
no.
seen it?
Yeah, that's a good one. Except she has to kind of hide her secret baby.
Oh,
from
this
everybody.
Is a brand new one.
How does she hide? How do you hide a secret baby?
Very carefully, I say.
Like within the dashboard of a car. If you're planning to cross the border.
But her mother doesn't want her to have the baby.
Just hollow out the back seat.
She wants to pretend like it never actually happened.
Keep it in a wheel well. The let's see. These people calling for. Hi, the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Steve from Stevenson.
Okay.
I know who Hal Lindsey is.
Who is Hal Lindsey, sir?
Hal Lindsey is an evangelical preacher who, during the Reagan administration, briefed the Pentagon on the Armageddon implications of nuclear warfare, according to the Old Testament.
He wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. That's who Hal Lindsey is. Hal Lindsey wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, right? We're talking about the same guy?
You got it.
And it's a book about it. It's one of those nutcase books like my older brother reads about how we're all doomed and we're always living in the end times and the seventh seal is about to be broken and it's going to be a big Bergman film, right?
That's the one, brother man.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
There you go. That's right. My mom. I remember my mom when she went through her nutcase phase. When I was seeing my mom talking about this book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and it was all about how because you know what those people were all. Those people. It's like we're always. Did you ever hear? some crazed nutcase who didn't think that the world was in its last stages? When's the last time you heard some idiot Pentecostal person go, yes, we're nowhere near the end stages. Things are going swimmingly. The universe will not end for millennia. Thousands of years of life we still have left to live before things fall apart. No, it's always like...
And then the next year, that book ends up on the dollar table at Powell's.
Seriously, so right next to the Y2K books. Mm-hmm. It's always some absurdly specific date, too. Like this, God, I don't want to sit and talk about my family again, but my idiot older brother and his equally weird family, who are all living in Waco or some similar town in Texas, with others of their faith, no doubt inbreeding as we speak, they move there. And, I mean, people can think I'm making this. This is not radio shtick. It's not a thing I'm making me wacky. I mean, this has been an ongoing story. About 3 weeks ago, where they all folded up their tents and fled from Kennewick, and they all moved to a tiny town in Texas because they think the end of the world is nigh. And so I was researching this idiot, and I don't use that word lightly, research this idiot so-called prophet that they follow. And he was one of those guys who gave the ridiculously specific date for when the world is going to end, except he did it like a few years ago, and it was 1982 or something. That didn't work out, and so he, wait for it, did what they all do. He revised the date and said that he said, forgot to carry the wand, and it's really 2012. So apparently in 2012, we're all Comet Kahootek or whatever is going to come back, and we're all going to be host. So just, you know, just FYI.
Python and Python 2 are on tonight.
Excellent.
On Sci-Fi. And probably the best of Robin Williams, who Dead Poet Society.
Dead Poet Society. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yep.
What a fantastic film that
Absolutely.
Is. I don't want to hear any more. What is it, more of this acting business? Because you can forget about that.
What are you doing to that mic thing?
I'm just squishing it.
You're like it. Manhandling it over there.
Manhandling it. No, because it's on the... Gonna cause trouble.
I know, but you're all creepy. It's you on keep, the like, massaging
it's,
it.
It's on the microphone, can't you tell? I would never remove it. See, I want the crisping... I want the crisp clarity that this windscreen gives me whenever I'm using the Electrovoice RE20, the finest broadcasting tool known to man.
So make sure you see it. It's a tale of a New England prep school.
Yeah, it's got that, man, Dead Poets Society. I saw that on Christmas Day, whatever year that came out.
89.
I was, what, so 16? Exactly the right age to see it, by the way. And I saw that on Christmas Day with some friends of mine. It's one of those movies where you walk out and you're just like, I am king of the world. I will not be denied. My dreams will be in my hands. Just a great, great film. The last time Robin Williams was ever good, if you don't count the Aladdin. So, great stuff, man. You can, and it's got Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop in it, too. So, yes. Mr. Keaton, you stay away from my son.
Bernie Mac plays Percy. Percy. Oh, he does play Percy. A proud father who is all set to meet his daughter, who is Zoe Saldana, for the first time. Oh, this is that Guess Who movie.
Okay, please. He needs to explain. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Bernie Mac plays Percy,
okay.
A proud father who is all set to meet his daughter, Teresa, who is Zoe Saldana's fiancée for the first time. Percy's daughter has let out details about Simon, who's Ashton Kutcher, which leads to an awkward meeting.
Oh, I see. It's a wacky... Oh, this is that Guess Who movie.
Guess Who.
Okay,
Bernie, explain what you think the movie represents.
I think it takes you somewhere that you had no expectation of this movie going.
Is he drugged?
Everyone talks
about
saliva
cleanup on aisle three.
I heard that. It's beyond that. I think it's about truth. I think it's about decision.
Uh-huh.
A tough decision. I think it's about being a hypocrite or not being a hypocrite. I think it's about teaching your family, your kids, the right way, which comes from the heart.
Are you kidding me?
I think Tom DeLay needs to step in and save Bernie Mac.
I think somebody's contract writer involves Percocet.
Wow.
Well, this should be shorter. Bernie, talk about working with Ashton Kutcher.
Working with Ashton was a blast.
Yes,
from the football, from the salsa. Sleeping in the bed.
Oh, my God.
Sleeping in the bed?
With Ashton Kutcher.
The warm milk.
Working with Ashton was a blast. From the football, from the salsa, from the sleeping in the bed.
Okay.
What did Ashton Kutcher have to say about this?
Here's the thing. I don't mean this to sound how I know it's probably going to sound.
Mm.
So just know that. That I really, these words really only mean what they mean. I can't understand what Bernie Mac is saying. So if someone can
He needs to be slowed down a little bit.
If there's someone who perhaps can tell me, speak Bernie Mac.
Did you want to listen to it one more time?
Yes, let's play it one more time. And if someone can tell me what this man is saying. This is Bernie Mac talking about Ashton Kutcher.
Working with Ashton was a blast. From the football, from the salsa.
See, right there, what is that?
From the sleeping in the bed.
Cookies.
Stop. All right. Okay, I realize that we're
so
having
the salsa and the sleeping in the bed.
I realize that we're having to ask
maybe
the audience
you know in bed.
A lot
man,
of things today.
What was his agent thinking, like letting him do an interview when he's obviously, you know, come down from whatever he's usually on?
He's been elevating his mind. All right, well, let's... hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Cecil. I tell you, Rick may need to get a hold of Barbara Billingsley on this one to translate that.
Stewardess, I speak jive. I don't know. Do you have any clue what he's saying?
It was a football game. I got that. He may be saying sofa instead of Sosa. I don't know if the movie has an action with Sammy Sosa or something in it.
But
this guy's insane. I mean, he's either been to Bill Cosby's dentist or...
Good one. All right.
That may be the reality, you know.
All right. Thank you,
bye,
sir. All right, there you go. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson chose this.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Hi, Jim. What the hell is Bernie Mac saying?
I thought he was talking about maybe Sammy Sosa, like maybe they had like some kind of, I don't know.
Like a cameo or something?
Yeah, or maybe they were, you know, maybe they liked Sammy Sosa and they liked talking about him.
I guess. But then he's something about the sleeping in the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed kind of cut off, like that was fragmented. I don't know.
Sarah, can we play that cut again? This is Bernie Mac talking about Ashton Kutcher.
Working with Ashton was a blast. From the football, from the salsa, from the sleeping in the bed.
It almost sounds like he said stupid in the bed.
Sounded like sleeping to me.
All right, Sarah.
Sleeping too.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all these people are calling. Is Kyle here?
No, he's supposed to be.
I thought that was just who handed you something. I thought somebody handing you a bag of goods.
No.
I figured it was Kyle on another lunch errand.
No, I just got a couple Epoxy CDs.
Oh, the Epoxy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's the chicks, right? The chicks, the punk chicks?
Yeah, the girl.
All right. Well, you know, I feel bad. There's all these people calling, and we're operating with a call screener today.
If we go to break, I can do them.
Well, all right. Well, do we have?
I have more stars to talk with here.
Well, Sarah, if you just want, you don't have to screen them. If you want to put them on hold, just say like Rick, or like just hang on. Just tell them just to hang on or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll either do it blind after the break, or Kyle will be here. We'll just play these other e-cuts.
Well, The Office premieres tonight. John Krasinski is one of the stars about the show.
Yeah. This is what e-cut is this?
This is eight.
Eight.
It's funny because a lot of my friends say, is this a mockumentary? And I'd say, no, it's actually probably more of a documentary, I'd say. Because a mockumentary would give you that feeling that we're trying to be funny or we're trying to make a statement comedically. And I don't think we are at all. I think really what it is just a view into these people's lives. And I think you just kind of get caught up in the characters and who they are. And you start laughing with them because of where they're at.
It's accurate. It's trying to make it not look like a sitcom.
That's right. And so, and to their credit, they don't have a laugh track or anything like that.
That'll make
the. And of course, the absence of a laugh track makes any show 10 times better. Just like the presence of a laugh track makes any show worse.
Rainn Wilson is also on the show. Please talk about the characters.
Well, these are people that you know. You know, these are characters that, you know, you grew up with or you went to high school with. You know, everyone has had the annoying boss who thinks he's the coolest guy and he's really just a loser. Everyone has had to work with a guy like Dwight Schrute who thinks he's smart and totally has it together, and all he is just plain annoying. You know what I mean? These are characters that everyone knows in some way. They're not kind of larger than life kind of caricature, kind of comic characters.
Now, that is true, because I can't speak for this new office, but as far as David Brent, who we're all familiar with on the show, we have all worked with David Brent. We might still work with David Brent. I'm not going to name names.
But it's like when it's like Hank Kingsley on the...
Oh, you have to off the air.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, maybe off the air.
Okay.
But it's like Hank Kingsley on the Larry Sanders Show. Hey, now. The, to where Donna might get that, you'll always have a table at Hank's Look Around Cafe. Hank Kingsley, I have worked with several people who are Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show. And I've worked with at least a couple that are David Brent. So that whole thing of the... That whole thing of the really passively, constantly self-promoting. Like, there's just the fantastic... There's that fantastic episode of The Office where he's on the cover of, like, Consolidated Paper magazine or whatever, and he leaves it laying on his desk, and the guy comes in for the interview, and he's all, oh, look, how did this magazine get on my desk? Oh, look, it's my ugly mug on the cover. I'll just throw that away. And he, like, really carefully sets it on top of the wastebasket so he can put it back on the desk later. I believe we've all worked with people like that. Oh, it's that copy of, you know, whatever, some newspaper, some magazine with a huge spread on me. And did I leave that laying out here on plain sight again? I don't know how that happened. So are these people that had the Bernie Mac thing? All right. Let's see. Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, you're a genius.
Well, okay.
Big Mac. I think Tim Big Mac's talking about either Doritos at the craft service table or a dancing scene. Is there a dancing scene in that movie with a nice song medley going on behind them?
There is a scene where the soulful black man teaches the hapless white man how to dance.
Maybe they're learning salsa dancing.
That could be it. Maybe they're talking about salsa, because it does sort of sound like salsa, just kind of a sort of a thing.
And there is that scene when they're sleeping in the bed next to each other.
Is there?
Yeah, I think I saw a write-up in the Mercury with a picture of them sleeping in the same bed.
Mystery solved.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get one more here. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
I think he was saying Paula's dead, but...
Cranberry sauce.
No, actually, I was saying the salsa thing, too. Apparently, Sarah put us both through. But anyways, yeah, I think you guys were talking about that dance scene the other day. So.
Right. No, that makes sense.
As opposed to Sammy Sosa.
All right. Thank you, sir. Okay, there you go. All right. Are we done?
No, I have one more interview here.
Okay, well, let's do these other e-cuts, then we'll break.
The PlayStation Portable, PSP, hits the stores today. The price is $249.99, and the gamers will get the chance to have their own diverse entertainment system that can fit into their respective pockets, backpacks, etc. The PSP gives gamers the chance to view digital photos, play music downloaded from their computer, watch movies through the Universal Media Disc, the UMD.
Soon you won't actually have to know real people or ever leave your house.
Ryan Bowling of Sony spoke with me recently. He talks about the wireless capability of the PSP unit.
PlayStation Portable, PSP, features Wi-Fi multiplayer connectivity, and that's
here women tuning in.
Oh, come on.
One, you have ad hoc gaming, so essentially you can in a certain range, you can meet up to 16 different players and play in real time online.
Wi-Fi capability and ad hoc
PSP
gaming,
detecting each other in a close environment to play against. You know, so you're looking at some of the launch titles like Twisted Metal Head On, Wipeout Pure, some of the sports titles like NBA. And it's really unique. If you're a fan of online gaming, it's a lot of fun.
Paulson sleeping in the bed.
Seriously. He's kind of tried to get over it, but if you listen really closely, you can hear the lispy speech impediment that he had, that all geeks had at one point.
Well, he had braces probably for many years.
Seriously.
Along with gaming and movie-watching capability, the portable brings music and displays digital photos.
In addition to the gaming functionality, PSP PlayStation Portable also features the ability to view your digital, photography images, as well as listen to music. And that's by means of saving your information on the memory stick, which is also the second medium that the PSP pulls from.
Okay.
Using your Sony digital camera,
right,
as well as uploading or downloading files from your PC or internet onto the memory stick and then viewing them onto the PSP.
Memory stick.
Same goes with your music as well, saving them into an MP3 format.
Thank you.
That's what the PSP
We're
will
glad.
Play.
Okay.
It comes with a cleaning cloth because the screen gets plenty of fingerprint smudges.
Okay. We're ending this now. Okay. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Later on, Jolie without Chicks Think. We'll talk to Jen Lane about strong drink in Portland and where to get it.
Have Matt Lindland and Randy Couture from Sports Fight 9 here. Your phone calls, Don and Mike at noon. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's Mike Ness and the rest of Social Distortion. It's the Rick Emerson Show, Max 910.